In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, preaching the Word of God. I want to invite you to February 24th, 25th, and 26th to listen. It's sponsored by St. Anthony's Parish. Yes, I invite you to listen on the 24th, 25th, and 26th at 6 to 7 o'clock in the evening. These are our brothers and sisters, and we need to listen. I'm looking at Mark, the 7th chapter. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they gathered around Jesus, and they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. Oh my, that's a terrible thing, not washing your hands. Oh, Jesus is going to say, what goes into the body is not unclean. We want to touch the hearts of people. Today in the office, the Lord called us his delight. Wow. Imagine being the delight of the Master. It's an encounter with Jesus Christ that I am the delight of the Master. As a matter of fact, you are too. You are the delight of the Master. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. I'm going to tell you, I'm not against washing your hands, but it has nothing to do with making you a sin, with making you sinful. It has nothing to do with making you sinful. There are so many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles, so that the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with lips, but their hearts are far from me." Oh God, I pray that everyone who's listening would have a heart circumcised by the Holy Spirit, that our hearts would not be far from Jesus, not from Jesus, that Jesus would touch our hearts and we would have an encounter with Jesus Christ in the Word and in the Eucharist. Oh, yes, in the Word today, he called us his delight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines, washing of hands, kettles, and cups. They are not doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold on to human tradition. Then he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandments of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, whatever support you might have had from me is korban, that is, an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for your father or your mother." In other words, you're supposed to take care of father and mother. You're supposed to take care of the father and the mother. Yes, not only giving money to the temple, but you're only supposed to take care of the father and the mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on, and you do many things like this. Then he called the crowd again and said to him, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile." What comes out of our mouth? Oh yes, what comes out of our hearts? Even pork doesn't defile you. No, it doesn't defile you. Anything going into you does not defile you. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciple asked him about the parable. He said to them, "Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes into the sewer?" I tell you, nothing can defile us. No food can defile us. I'm not saying we shouldn't eat right, but no food can defile us because it doesn't touch the heart. It touches the stomach and it touches the latrine, but not the heart. I want you to know that what comes out of our heart is so important. What comes out of our heart is so important. And we need to know that. We need to bridle our tongues so we do not talk against anyone. Those are what defiles people. You have a thing to say about the pastor of your church. I'll never forget. We were in near Gloucester, and these two people were talking about a priest that I know, and they were throwing him down. These are church people. These are church people. Rather than building him up, they were throwing him down. How sad. How sad. That defiles the heart. That defiles the heart. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, it is that what comes out of a person that defiles. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, slander, pride, folly, all these evil things come from within, and they do defile a person. Oh, yes. Watch your tongue. Your tongue is connected to the heart of your being. Me too. Watch my tongue. My tongue is connected to my heart. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I want to be a person that is clean of heart by the grace of the living God. Have I messed up at times? I certainly have. But the Lord wants me to keep my mouth quiet when it comes to gossip. When it comes to gossip, keep your tongue quiet. Verse 24, from there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know that he was there. It's never going to happen. The people are desperate. The people are desperate for Jesus. Are you desperate for Jesus today? I am. I'm desperate for Jesus. And he goes into a house and thinks that nobody's going to follow him. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. she begged him to cast out the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let this children be fed first. The food of the children is healing and deliverance. Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The Jews called people that were not Jewish dogs. But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The children's food, healing and deliverance. Jesus called her a dog, but she said, "You know what? Even the dog eats the crumbs that fall from the table." And what happened? Jesus said, "Your daughter is healed because of your faith." "For saying that, you may go, the demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. That's the 10 cities that aren't Jewish. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd. Why? No faith. He took him in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into the ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephrathah, Ephrathah," that means, "Be thou opened." And immediately his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. He spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well, and makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This man had an encounter with Jesus. He had an encounter with Jesus. And you say, "But I can't encounter Jesus. Jesus is in heaven. He ascended into heaven." I tell you, you can encounter Jesus through the Word of God and through the Holy Eucharist. You can encounter Jesus through what the Church teaches from her magisterium. You can encounter Jesus. We are called to encounter Jesus. We're not even Christians if we've never had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Catholics call it second conversion. Catholics call it second conversion. Evangelicals call it born again. St. Paul called it a new creation. And I tell you, it makes no difference what you call second conversion, as long as it happens to you, that you have a real encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you encountered Jesus? Do you know that you are his delight? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that he went to the cross for you? Do you know that? Have you come to believe the reality of Jesus loving you even before you thought about him? Oh, yes. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send the Son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. I continue. Chapter 8. In those days when there was again a great crowd, without anything to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me for 3 days. 3 days he's been preaching to these people. 3 days he's been healing these people. They have nothing to eat. They have nothing to eat. All their food is gone. And they have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come a great distance. His disciples replied, How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert? He asked them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute. They distributed them to the crowd. They had also a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these two should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up broken pieces left over 7 baskets full. The multiplication. I told you, I come to Jesus with a little word, and he multiplies it. Oh, yes, do you give your little bread and fish to Jesus to bring multiplication? If he didn't multiply it, I wouldn't know what to do. Last night I preached at St. John the Baptist Church, and I preached on Jesus entering into the temple, had to go through the great towers and walls, and I preached that the angels would say, Who is the King of Glory? This is the King of Glory, the one who was held by his mother and father. He's 40 days old. This is the King of Glory. O gates, lift up your heads. Grow open, you ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of Glory. The angels were singing that as Jesus went through the big, big opening in the wall. Oh, yes. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. Verse 11, the Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in the spirit and said, Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them and got into the boat again. He went across to the other side. You know what? Miracles are going to happen during this year. And it's going to be the ordinary, not the extraordinary. Jesus is going to do miracles this year through the people who have faith. That means you, not only Father Tom. That means you. He wants to do miracles with you as you encounter him. As you encounter him in the Word of God, as you encounter him in the Holy Eucharist, Jesus wants to do miracles. Last week I prayed with someone who had problems with his hips, and I just prayed a small prayer, a short prayer, and guess what happened? The pain left the man. The pain left the man. It only took a couple of seconds for Jesus to do it. I didn't do it. I just laid hands upon his hips. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. They said to one another, "It is because we have no bread." These apostles are as dumb as we are. They just had two multiplications of fish and bread. And yet they're saying, "He's saying this because we have no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and do not see? Do you have ears and fall to the deaf? And do you remember when I broke five loaves for the 5,000 men? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said, 12. "And what about the 7 loaves? How much for the 4,000 people? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you yet not understand? Do you still not understand?" There was an encounter with Jesus at the multiplication of the fish and loaves. "Do you still not understand? Don't you know you've been looking at miracles and you're afraid that you only have one loaf of bread? Where is your understanding? Where is your understanding?" But you know what? I can't blame them, because we're all alike. We're all alike. We are. We're all alike. And Jesus says, "Where is your understanding? Do you not yet understand?" I'm going to turn to Isaiah 43. "But now," not later, "now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob." Not only is he talking about Israel, he's talking about you and me. "He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you." Don't be afraid. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Don't be afraid. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. "I have called you by name. You are mine." Isn't that wonderful? "I have called you by name, not by number, but by name, and you are mine. You are my delight." Oh, yes, you are my delight. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Not if you pass through the waters, when. "I will be with you. I will be with you as you walk through the rivers. They shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." The flame shall not consume you. Do you know what he's saying? "For I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Oh, Jesus, you are my Savior. Oh, Jesus, you are their Savior. Oh, you have redeemed us with your precious blood. Oh, Jesus, Savior of the soul, have mercy on us for lacking faith. "I give Egypt as your ransom, and Ethiopia and Saba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight." Do you believe that? Jesus says, "You're precious in his sight." The Father says, "You're precious in his sight." We just have to believe it. "Oh, Father Tom, but if you ever knew what I did..." Oh, get over it. Get over it. Just get to confession and don't look back. Don't look back. Look ahead where Jesus is. and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. Are you afraid today? Jesus says, don't be afraid. Why? Because I am with you. The Father says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. The Holy Spirit says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. He is with us. He is with us. Then verse 10, you are my witnesses, says the Lord. The only witness that Jesus has are the people that have experienced his salvation, the people that know the touch of God. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. I want to be a servant of Jesus, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. It's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. Do you know that today? The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord Jesus, give us the grace to encounter your love. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.